Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you this morning on this nice, cool autumn day. It reminds me of Orlando, Florida, except 10 degrees hotter. Well, it's really nice to be with you, and if you have a Bible, you'll want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And if you can look at two things at once, I want to remind everybody that next week is a very special week for this church. From Sunday through Wednesday, you are having two superstars in this church. You may not have heard their names before, but that's what they are, Scotty Smith and Michael Card. I don't know how they got these two people in the same place. It's unbelievable that they're going to be here. And there are meetings on Sunday and meetings on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Wednesday. But the two things that I think are most important for you to remember is that there's a Monday lunch and a Tuesday lunch. And for this, there are reservation sign-up sheets out here. If you forget about it, ultimately call the offices, or if that doesn't work, just come. We'll make it happen. But what's going to be so good about this is that these are times that you can actually bring a friend from the office at lunchtime to this church. And you won't be embarrassed. Scotty Smith will give a little tiny talk, and he's very nice. He's not like me. He's very nice. And Michael Card will not embarrass you in the very least. He's an expert in music and of a variety, and they will give a good presentation of the gospel, and you will be happy that you brought your friends. So I hope you will. Next Tuesday, Monday lunch and Tuesday lunch. Okay? Hope, and I think we need that these days. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 36. Hear now the word of our God. Did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we come to you now because the word of God did not start with us. It started with you. It comes to us through the words of your apostles. And we acknowledge that and bow before you and it, your holy word. But we know, Lord, that many times our hearts are hardened to what you have to say to us. And so we pray now for Holy Spirit to come and soften us, that we will be receptive to what you have to say, that you may be honored and you may be glorified. We want this, Lord Jesus, because we love you so much. Amen. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a Christian, I think I want you to understand something. We know, the rest of us here who are Christians, that we are not perfect. Far from it. In fact, Christians who really know themselves understand just how imperfect they are. Though we try to follow the ways of Jesus, and though we try to seek him with all of our hearts, we know that even something like this meeting today, something that we do week after week after week after week, we still don't quite get that right either. And so I hope you'll bear with us today as we reflect on something that's common to Christianity, but something that we always need to reevaluate. And that is what it means to worship God in the way that he wants to be worshiped. We have for many weeks in this church been talking about the worship of God as one of the missions of the church. That it's a part of what it means to be a Christian. To gather together like we have this morning and to do things that actually please the God of heaven and earth. As strange as that may sound, he actually takes pleasure in seeing his people honor him in the ways that we are today. Now, this is the last week we're going to be talking about worship, so we're concerned with the rubber meeting the road today. And in some ways, it may feel uncomfortable, but we'll hope that God will overcome that discomfort. You know, there were many times when children had people call them names, and that happened to me as a child. And I can remember my mother telling me something about it when people would call me names. She said, "Richie, if one person calls you that name, don't even think about it. Just ignore it. If two people call you that name, give it about 5 seconds and see if it's true." But then she said, "But if everybody in the world calls you that name, it's probably true." This church is Independent Presbyterian Church. And if there is one thing that everybody in the world calls us, it has to be this: the frozen chosen. And since everybody calls us that, not just one or two, I think we can assume that there's some truth in it. And some of that truth applies even to the ways that we worship God, that we look like a bunch of frozen chosen people when we come together in a time like this, when we extend worship into our Sunday school hours, when we gather on Sunday night or Wednesday night. There's a tendency for us to do worship in ways that resemble people who are frozen and chosen. Now, this passage that given to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 is all about worship. And if we were to have read this entire chapter, you'd have been wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Because he's talking about things at the church of Corinth that in some ways correspond to our church, but in many respects are just the opposite of what goes on here. Yet in this chapter, there are underlying principles that guide the apostles' words to the Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at those underlying principles. And the first one is that which is the most favorite of all among the frozen chosen, like you and me. And is found in verse 40. "But everything in worship, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way." Or, as the older translations used to put it, "decently and in order." Now, if there is one thing that's true of our branch of the Church of Jesus Christ, it's this: we believe that worship ought to be done decently and in order. Almost heard an amen whispered. And I believe that really is a good thing, because we understand that we are coming in a time of worship into the very throne room of heaven. And when you're before royalty, even human royalty, you don't act casually. You don't do just whatever comes to mind. You don't just sit around and play around. You pay attention to what royalty wants. And so, as Christians, we are very concerned that the things that we do here are done decently and in order. In fact, a lot of time is given by James and by the worship team to making sure that what we do here is appropriate for a time before God. That's why we create these bulletins. It's even why we give you words now of songs that are sung by the duets and by the choir. It's so that we can be together and do these things in a way that's appropriate for the God of heaven and earth. Now, the great thing about our God is, even though he is the highly exalted creator of all, he is also very intimate with us. So there are times in your life when you can simply be with God any way you want to be. That's fine. You can whisper a little prayer in the office. You can scream at an accident, "Help me," whatever it may be. But a time of worship is a time, as the apostle says right here, that we are to do things decently, in a fitting way, and in order. The reason he stressed this was because the Corinthians were not. They would come to church, and everyone was trying to do whatever they wanted to do. In fact, as they exemplified this and demonstrated this in their worship services, they actually used it to divide the church. One group would yell at another, and another group would yell at the one, and back and forth they would go, and they would split the congregation and do all kinds of crazy things in church. And Paul says, whatever you do, what's most important for you to remember is do it decently and in order. Do you remember PBS had a series that they did on the Beatles a number of years ago. And they interviewed Paul and Ringo, the drummer. And I remember that they had this scene where they were interviewing Ringo about the time when the Queen of England knighted the Beatles. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Beatles were actually knighted by the Queen of England. And he was sort of laughing and joking about it. And he said, yeah, we had to wait a couple of hours in a little waiting room off the side. And he said, while we were doing it, she said, what was it like? What was it like, the interviewer said. And he said, well, we were just having a good time. We had lots of alcohol in the room. We were very happy just joking around and playing around. And then the interviewer said, well, what was it like when you went to the Queen, into her throne room? And he said, we all of a sudden, without any hesitation, sobered up and did exactly what we were supposed to do. And the interviewer said, why? An American interviewer, because we don't understand these things. And he looked at her like this and he said, she's our queen. Yeah, you might goof around and play around and do whatever comes to mind when you're off to the side room, but as soon as you walk into the presence of royalty, you do what royalty wants you to do. They understood that on a human level, and we here understand that on the divine level. You and I are people who are called to serve God in worship as he wants to be served. Now, in Corinth, they were coming to church with this attitude. I'm going to do everything I can possibly get away with doing. If I feel like I need to say something, I'm going to say it. If I feel like I need to disagree with somebody, I'm going to disagree with them. If I need to enter into a debate in the worship service, and I'm going to stand up and start debating the preacher. They wanted to do everything they could possibly do when they came to worship. And so the words, do it decently and in order, meant that they needed to be corralled. They needed to be controlled. And that was the role that the elders had at Corinth. They were supposed to make sure things were done in ways that honored God. But think about you and me. There may be some churches around us who have that characteristic where people come doing just as much as they can possibly get away with, but not here. When we come to worship, let's admit it, we come to do just as little as possible. In fact, we would be very happy if we could just sit down through the whole thing. I mean, why do they keep telling us to stand up? I just got comfortable. We would be very happy if the people on the stage just did everything. Why do we have to keep on doing these responsive readings? I mean, you know, come on, you're the professionals. You just do it. I just came to watch, thank you. You see, we come with just the opposite attitude that the Corinthians had. We come to do just as little as possible. And yet, what's the role of the elders and the pastors of this church? It's to pull something out of you, to get you involved, for you to have opportunities actually to do something in a time of worship. And isn't it perplexing that you're given opportunities to speak the word of God in a time like this, say in the call to worship? And as I'm standing out in the hall welcoming the latecomers, whom we're happy are here, as I'm out there, I hear the call to worship. I hear the preacher up here reading his part, and then I hear this. Then I hear the preacher again. Then I hear this. I don't think you came to do that. I think you were forced to do that. The numbers of people we have in these services, we should be able to lift the roof off with the volume of singing. But the fact is that it's easy for the organ to drown out the singing. Why? Because we don't come to do anything. We come to sit and watch and to do worship decently and in order in a church where people come to do as little as possible is to promote that you have the opportunity to do something, to stand up in honor of God, to bow your head before God, to speak the word of God, to sing the word of God, to receive the word of God. You are to be active all through the hour of worship because the stage of worship is not just here. The stage of worship extends from the cross to the back door and even into the balcony. And God is watching the stage, and he wants us all to do things decently and in order, and to do nothing is indecent in the presence of God. Okay. So I'm supposed to do something. What kinds of things did Paul want the Corinthians to do in a worship time? Well, we're going to take a look. Look with me at verse 26 and hear the sorts of things that he says there. He says in verse 26, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together in worship, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church." Here the apostle talks about the various gifts that they had in the Corinthian church, gifts from the Holy Spirit. And every person, every man, woman, and child who has come to Christ in faith has received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifests himself in each individual person. So that when they come to church, when they come to worship, they don't come to sit there and do nothing. They come to manifest the gifts of Holy Spirit. Each one of us has been called to do this in whatever way God happens to call you. Now, it's to be done under the authority of the elders, and the elders are to manage all of this. But at the same time, you are coming with Holy Spirit living in you. You're coming seeking the filling of Holy Spirit, and this means you have something to contribute to this. That's why you sing. That's why we recite the Apostles' Creed. It's because as you are saying the Apostles' Creed, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is on you, and you are saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." How could you want a greater privilege than that, than to say that aloud in the presence of God? So when you sing from the heart. When you listen with all of your heart. When you hear words of prophecy coming from a duet like we just heard today, you should be paying attention so your heart can be lifted up with them. When the choir sings, when we speak to each other, even before the worship time and after the worship time, we are to be sharing the gifting of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. But for what purpose? Most of us think in terms of coming to church in order to be built up and to be strengthened, yes, but individually. But notice what the apostle says here. All of this needs to be done for the strengthening or the edification of the church. You have been given the Holy Spirit, but not for yourself. You have been given the Spirit of God so that you can minister and edify and build up the people around you in a time like this. Now, because our group is so large, there's not a lot of opportunity for talking during the hour itself, but before church. And in that, as you participate through the various opportunities you have in church, and then in the time after church, this is when you use your gift of the Holy Spirit to serve and to build up others. I want to tell you something. The people sitting around you, even if you don't need strengthening, the people sitting around you need strengthening. They are dealing with serious problems in their lives. They are dealing with health problems. They're dealing with marriage problems. They're dealing with children who are disappointing them, and children are dealing with parents who are disappointing them. They are dealing now with financial crisis and don't know what in the world they're going to do. They need you. They need the strength that comes from you with your presence of Holy Spirit looking them in the eye and caring about them enough to speak to them about something more than the football game this weekend. They need you to know who they are so you can serve them. They need the "we can do this together" And that is what the time of worship is to be. Because the Apostle Paul says, this is what pleases God. This is doing worship decently and in order. Think about your own life for just a moment. And ask yourself the question, where do you ever get any encouragement? The more I get to know you in this church, the more that I get to know you in your family lives and out there in the community, I think increasingly everyone's fairly discouraged by the things that are out there. So where are you going to get your courage if it's not from people in Sunday school speaking to you a good word of God? If it's not from seeing friends and neighbors here who also have problems, lifting their hearts up to God in a worship time and speaking the truth of God? If it's not in the time after church when we minister to each other the things of God? Yes, we are to be active in worship for the building up of the body of Christ. So find a way. Seek a way to do that. But as the Apostle Paul talks about doing things decently and in order, he has another concern as well. I want you to listen to this concern in verse 23. So, if the whole church comes together, and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I want to say to you, if you're not a Christian, that you have honored us by being here today. And I really do believe that. Because if you didn't know it before you walked in here, we are wacky. We believe the weirdest things. And we go through rituals and things that just don't seem to work for modern people anymore. We believe things like Jesus is the only way of salvation. We believe things like that the Bible is the Word of God. And if you knew that and you still came, thank you. Thank you for coming because you honor us. But at the same time, I want to ask you to be patient with us. Because so very often, we who follow Christ will come to church primarily to find our own strengthening, our own spiritual energy, and sometimes even to help other Christians. But very often, we don't even realize that God wants us to reach to you also. Not in some kind of superior way, but just to let you know what is happening in our lives and what Jesus has done for us. And friends, very often we are convinced that worship is just for us. That if an unbeliever is here, they're out of whack, so they really don't belong in this room anyway. But hear the word of God. The Apostle Paul expected unbelievers and the uninitiated to be in the Christian worship. And he expected the Christians in Corinth to pay attention to that fact and not let the unbelievers think they are crazy. Instead, he wanted the unbeliever to be convinced by what happens in this church, to be convinced that God himself is among us. It's a wonderful thing to know that the truth of God is so powerful that it can break through people's facades, people's insulation, the hardness of their hearts when they least expect it. They may have heard Christian things for years, and then suddenly, without any kind of explanation, it suddenly pierces them in a way that had never happened before. That's a magnificent thing about the truth of Jesus. But it is our job, not just the job of the people up here, our job to turn a worship time into the opportunity for those that have not believed in Jesus to see the wondrous reality of his mercy and his grace in the lives of his people. It's our job, before the worship service, to notice people who are here and to learn who they are and to be concerned about them. It's our job to say things and to do things that demonstrate, even during this hour, that God really is among us. And it is our responsibility of decent and orderly worship before our true God of heaven and earth, that even after the worship service, after the benediction, that you look around and smile at someone, that you look around and reach out to someone. People in the world who do not have Christ are in need of Jesus, whether they understand this or not. And your tenderness, your smile, your genuine concern, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life may very well be the way in which God breaks through to their hearts. And if we believe that we are before the King of the universe, and that the King of the universe wants this to happen in his presence, then it is incumbent upon us to do our worship just as he says. I think my mother was right. If one person calls you something, ignore it. Two people, take 5 seconds. But if everybody calls us the frozen chosen, we need to accept that that's our tendency, that that's how we look to them, and we need to thaw out. Worship is a time when we honor our God with decency and order in a way that builds up other Christians and demonstrates to the world that Jesus is among us. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we bless you and adore you. Even though we here and in our branch of the church have just the opposite problem they had at Corinth, your word still speaks to us. And we come to you and say, we want to worship you in a way that pleases you. Grant us this grace, Lord, because apart from your power, we cannot do it. But if you will, we will give you the honor for it and all the praise.